For those of you who don't know, Reverend Angel Kyoto Williams was here this weekend. She is a wonderful African-American Soto Zen Buddhist priest and teacher. She led a sesshin that we did here that was majority people of color sesshin. Her visit is being co-sponsored by Clouds and Water and Common Ground, and Don't You Feel It Too. And so this morning at 10:30, there'll be meditation and a talk at Common Ground. So some people from here are going to that, including me. So that's why we had just a 15-minute meditation, and we'll just have a short talk. So I apologize if you were wanting more, but sometimes less is more. So sometimes I talk on, and it's better to have a short talk. So so you're all invited to come. I know that they have enough room for 150 people because they have an overflow room. And I also know that some of their leadership has another big event, so that might mean that there's actually going to be seats available. So that's what's happening today. And I'm wondering if maybe we'll just start informally rather than doing a chant, so because I want to end by 9:45. So, all right. So I'll just start by... I want to set an intention, first expressing my gratitude for all of my teachers, from the ancient teachers to teachers that I have worked with, or either in person or through their writings. They are all here today. For my spiritual ancestors and my blood ancestors, and the ancestors who were the keepers of this land. For all of the peoples who inhabit this land, I dedicate this expression of the Dharma, and I bow down. Right. So, could I have some water? So, for those who were here for the meditation, I did a little guided meditation on the body. Thank you. And that's what I'd like to talk about. Because I think that sometimes, for some of us, since this practice is, a lot of times doesn't seem to have a lot of movement. So especially if you're just maybe coming on Sundays or just come to sit for the meditation, if that's like how you find your expression of this practice, it might seem like, okay, it's just sitting still. So that means kind of ignoring the body in a way, because I'm going to like sort of restrain the body in a harsh way. Sometimes we can get that idea. But that's actually not what this practice is about. So partly the meditation was a demonstration of actually sitting still and breathing is coming into the body. And we don't always do a reflection meditation on the body specifically, but I find for myself, at least in the first few minutes of sitting down, it's really important. Because otherwise I can just get lost in my head and actually daydreaming or whatever, scheming, planning. If I bring myself into my body and really pay attention to the body and the breath, then I can really be present to everything. So it's not even not shutting out the thoughts either, but being present to everything and remembering that all of this is happening in a body, with a body. So if you do other practices in Zen, like for example, those who did the sesshin this weekend, our intensive meditation retreats, then it maybe becomes a little more obvious how it's a body practice. Because you might be instructed on things like, well, you come into the room and you bow when you come in, and you come to your seat and you bow, and you sit down a certain way. And we do a liturgy where there's bowing at certain places with the whole body and touching the head to the ground. We do chanting, which is with the body and the voice. And our Oryoki practice, which is the formal meal practice, is all about the body. I mean, you might think when you're learning it that it's about where you're placing the bowls and how you're placing the spoon and the chopstick and what order of things. And so you can get outwardly focused. But actually, it's your body, how your body is doing these things. And one of the things that Reverend Angel mentioned this weekend, which I totally resonate with, is how she said doing the Zen forms, so the different bowing, the Oryoki, all the forms, makes her more conscious, more aware, noticing everything. So as she said, and I find it too, like when I reach for the cup, I'm noticing what's going on. Or I'm noticing also what I'm missing. Like I'm noticing how usually there's like so many things going on. Even as I'm talking now, there's so many things going on. It's like I can't possibly actually pay attention to all of them. But I can have an intention to wake up to all of them. And that's really, it's beyond helpful. It's really liberating. So that's why we do these kinds of practices. It's for liberation, for that freedom. And as I said in the guided meditation, feeling the solidity of the body. So coming in, there's a particular thing that's happening here. I have a particular body. You have a particular body. But then as we breathe, we notice that there's this vastness of space in the air that we're breathing in, and we're actually bringing that into our body, and then we're letting it go. And then actually we can notice how we're actually participating in that spaciousness, and we're part of it. We're not separate from it. So then that's a way that we could say embody spaciousness or touch spaciousness. But I think it's important to not get lost in the spaciousness. So it's another thing Reverend Angel mentioned, is that she said, for some of us, if we are inclined to grab after spaciousness, so maybe we feel a little overly drawn to it or intoxicated by it, like, wow, that's what I want. I want just spaciousness. Let go of this body. This body is not me. This body is not mine, which of course is all true. That's part of the absolute truth. But if we're intoxicated like that, then we forget the particular. Then we actually have a high risk of doing harm to ourselves and others in how we interact. And we have less capacity to be actually compassionate, so that we do have to bring it into what are the particulars, what's the specific. And it's not only about the body, but that's one way. I think it's a good way to start. So that's kind of what I've been thinking about. And we're not sitting in a circle, but I would like to invite, as if we were sitting in a circle, for people to ask a question or make a comment about your experience with your practice, and especially around this context of coming into the body and the particulars, or spaciousness and your inclination toward it or not. So are there questions or, yes, Kim?
So my question is, you mentioned that paying attention to all these different things that are happening,
yes,
can be liberating.
Uh-huh.
My experience is that once I'm paying attention, it's overwhelming.
Ah, okay.
So how any thoughts about how to navigate that space? It seems to be natural tension there.
Right, right. So that's a really good question. So what I would say is noticing the overwhelm then. So then you sort of shift your focus, like, wow, there's overwhelm. And so then you come into an awareness of the feelings. What's the overwhelm? Where is that residing in my body? You know, so it's overwhelm is kind of a like psycho-emotional state, right? So then is there something, you know, what is it? I don't know what it is for you. You know, I could think what it is for me. It's sort of a, like a kind of a churning kind of in the center here. Because there is a tension between the wanting to pay particular attention, but then also the letting go. So I think the overwhelm happens too when we are trying to grab onto it. Like, I should, you know, be paying attention to all these things, but we actually can't possibly. We can't possibly. It's all moving so fast. But that doesn't mean we give up either. So then, that's where the tension is. Does that give you something to work with?
So I'm hearing that I could perhaps get some groundedness in the intention, however that's manifesting itself.
Right.
That's an intention that's underlying.
Yeah. And then come into the, what's the overwhelm? You know, where is that residing in my body?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I had the experience of early on doing sessions of like pain would show up and then I'd be just like, I'd push against it. And then I'd be kind of trying to get really tough until I just absolutely couldn't get tough anymore. And then I would sort of melt into kind of a puddle of tears maybe or something. Mm. But with that, something would shift. And what I notice now is that most of the time, don't have to like go to that extreme. Mm. That I can kind of notice something and then like pay attention and kind of soften and go, oh, I want to be sort of curious about it instead of like going, I'm going to die. I mean, because that's kind of how it feels but I noticed that it's sort of like paying really close attention to whatever comes up with like compassion for myself, love for myself, that really does tend to shift things. Mm-hmm. And it makes whatever it is that's there, and sometimes there's something behind it, and sometimes it's just that. You know, sometimes it's just the sensation, and I just go, oh, that's a sensation. So,
yeah.
Anyway, but I'm really surprised at how much that has shifted. The thing that you said today that was the most helpful was when you said, I'm going to this in my daily practice. It's like, what am I kind of like not, what am I
right,
not
noticing?
In my, like, cause
yeah.
Because I, well, we could, I could talk forever, but there's, I'm a talker. Anyway, but there's lots of places in my body that I just forget to like, include. So that was really helpful.
Yeah, you're welcome. So for those people who came in late and didn't have the guided meditation, one of the things I did was bringing your awareness to your body, breathing with awareness of your body, and then are there any parts of your body that you tend to not notice, that you're not paying attention to? And so, thank you. Also, I was thinking when you were talking about the softening around the pain or whatever is coming up that's difficult, it's also from Reverend Angel something that I got this weekend, which was wonderful, is the idea of if something's very painful and difficult, to sort of expand your container for, you know, to receive it with an openness. So you expand your sense of what is, you know, receiving it. So rather than like sharpening the focus at that point, without losing the awareness of the thing, you just, you know, open up like big to receive it. And, you know, whatever that means for you. And for me, like often it's air, breathing, you know, because as I'm breathing in, it's like the air is, you know, boundless. So that can help too. Someone else, yes.
I'd like to riff on that with what Kim said, because I feel like sometimes the overwhelm is very related to the parts of the body that we use to order things. So like, I often think of it as handiness. It's like, all the stuff is there. I need to make this orderly to protect myself from potential pain.
Uh-huh.
And so that sometimes opening to parts of the body, you don't think of yourself interacting with those things coming on.
Yeah.
And make that space. Like, what do my heels feel about this?
Yeah.
Peaceful to
settle. Yeah. And it's interesting too, when I was doing that meditation, I thought it might be hard to actually think about what are the parts of my body that I don't think about. So if I had more time, sometimes we do a systematic, like guided body scan, where you go through all the different parts of your body, and that's one where you can, and you can find a whole bunch of these online if you want to look. But that's one where you can know, oh, like, yeah, I never do think about that, my heels or the back of my knees or, you know, the small of my back, whatever, you know, whatever it is particular behind my ears, you know. So that's good. Yeah, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I just found it kind of ironic when you said think about parts you don't normally think about. I actually thought about my brain.
Oh, yeah, well.
I've never really included that in my body. Oh.
Right, and it's part of the body. No, that's great. That kind of puts it more in its place, you know, rather than like the brain is here like a separate thing. It's like, well, it's part of the body. Some teacher said, talked about how the brain secretes thoughts, you know, like an organ, you know, and so then that also kind of shifts how you think about the thoughts. It's like, well, they're just secretions, you know, like mucus or something. What else do people have? Oh, yes.
I was thinking about how I have all these fears around doing a long sesshin because I'm afraid of physically how that is going to handle that.
Uh-huh.
It just seems really awful to sit for that long. I don't know if I could handle it.
Well, you have to find a way to not brace yourself against whatever's coming up, like Ty was saying. I think that's the key. And if you want to do it, I mean, if your heart, you're feeling, and I'm guessing that you have feel sort of an intention, and that's why you're even bringing it up.
Eventually.
I mean, another way is that, you know, it's also possible to talk to the Eno, the session coordinator, ahead of time and say, I might need to take a break because I'm not sure how my body will handle this. And then, you know, we always say that with Sesshin, it's, you know, as much as possible, you just participate in the schedule. But we're not sort of hard-nosed about it. It's like we want people to be able to enter. So sometimes, you know, having that, like in the Sesshin that we did this last weekend, we called it the escape room. We had the classroom set up for people who felt overwhelmed with the practice could go there and, you know, have a cup of tea or whatever. Of course, then once in the room, there were signs that said, there is no escape. But it sort of was an escape, like just, you know, but you still are sitting there with yourself. It's just maybe you're sitting, you know, with your legs crossed or maybe you're lying on the floor, but... So there's different ways to enter into Sesshin, and sometimes it's sort of getting over that initial fear is a big thing. So I'd encourage you to, you know, kind of play with that and see what you can come up with.
Well, the other side of it, of course, is the mental side, too.
Well, yeah.
It's not the body, but that's a big part, too.
Yeah, that is a big part. What else?
Mm-hmm. This isn't really related to the body thing or anything, but I'm just wondering if you have a friend or somebody that you know is really in pain and it really hurts you, what is there? I feel helpless in helping that person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is there anything that you can do to, is there a practice for that?
Mm-hmm.
Compassion or?
Well, I first say what you don't want to do, or you probably shouldn't do. Maybe you know this already, is you probably don't want to say, well, you should practice meditation. You know, that would help you. Yeah, even if you think it might be true, you know. It's like that's one where you have to be kind of cautious about. And, you know, one way to do that is just say, well, for me, this is helpful. You know, so sometimes you can share it like that. you know, with, so you're not telling them. But I think, you know, getting more to your point of what to do is being with them. Mm-hmm. So being willing to be with them in their pain and actually not try to fix them. And of course, if you can see something that, you know, sometimes there's some little thing that you can do or say that might be helpful, but often the most helpful thing is just being present. And I don't know, I'm not sure what kind of pain, but it doesn't matter in a way, whether it's physical or emotional, psychological, you know, to just say, I'm here and I'm here with you and I notice that you're in pain and my heart is breaking, or whatever you would say, you know, that's honest from you. I'm willing to be here for you. And then, you know, your intention is that you're loving them just as they are, that you're not needing them to not be in pain, to be okay, which is really different. You know, usually we go into fix-it mode. We want to fix someone. And that often comes from our own discomfort with being with their pain or being with pain in general. Like their pain actually sort of reminds us of our own pain, and then we start to feel pain, because actually that's what we do as humans. You know, there's an element of compassion that's sort of built into our DNA almost. And so then when we're around someone who's in pain, it activates that and we don't like it. So being willing to be with it, even though we don't like it. So that's part of Buddhist practice, letting go of like and dislike. And even deeper than that is just loving them just as they are. So that's what I would say. Does that help?
Mm-hmm.
Welcome. Yes.
And I have just maybe a little bit different take on that is, how do you have compassion for yourself while you're navigating that this other person who's in pain? You don't.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough.
What do you do?
Yeah.
Do you have some ideas?
No, I'm asking.
You
have
no ideas? No idea?
I'm just taking a break. Your pain is stressing me out.
Yeah. So, I would say, yeah, actually, maybe not saying it just like that, but taking a break for yourself is important. Because if you burn yourself out on their pain, you're not helping them. So like looking at what are the things that you need to do to take care of yourself so that then you can continue to be fresh and present and compassionate to them. Yeah. So, John, I'm sorry, Reverend Angel is at Common Ground today, so we're ending the talk early, like in about 4 minutes. But you and everyone is welcome to head over there because it starts at 10:30. So we're just, we have probably time for one or two more questions. Yes?
I just want to say I'm really grateful to hear what you had to say because my experience with, I've only started meditating 2 years ago, and when I try to meditate every day, but I have this subconscious thing like, I need to be okay before I can sit and meditate.
Mm-hmm.
And like yesterday, I don't know, for whatever reason, I just felt really down. And I did bring myself to go out and take a walk and all that. But I came home and the rest of my afternoon was shot because I just felt a lot of pain for whatever reason, and I distracted myself with TV and radio. And when I came in this morning, I'm so glad I came in and, you know, and you did the guided meditation, because as you were saying, whatever you were saying, it opened up in my mind that whatever I was feeling yesterday, I could have sat down with myself instead of trying to run away from that pain with the TV and the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was experiencing it this morning as I was sitting with myself and focusing on my breath, and I think your words were breathe slowly, and you know that to me was like, okay, I can, you know, just focus on breathing slowly in and breathing slowly out. And I had the experience of, okay, this is what it feels like to sit with myself.
Yes.
And just be okay, you know, like as if I was another person sitting here, and it's like, we don't have to talk, we can just breathe.
Mm.
And I felt like my heart rate went down, and I wasn't afraid anymore.
Mm.
So it gave me a clue, like, next time this happens, yeah. I'm sure it's going to happen again,
yeah.
where I'll feel down, and I don't need to run away, and I hope I can remember that, you know, when it happens again, I can just sit with myself, and I can imagine you saying, breathe slowly, and, you know. So that was really helpful, and I'm very grateful. Thank you.
You're welcome. You know, it's that sort of decision point where we notice, there's some problem. Like I'm feeling bad, or you know, agitated, or whatever. And then, like I should just be with it. Like that would be the thing to do, to sit down. But we don't want to. because we think, no, that's going to be too much. I need to get away from it. So then we go over here with the TV or reading or, you know, whatever, you know, distracting ourselves. Sometimes we need to distract ourselves. So sometimes the kind thing to do is to say, no, actually, it is overwhelming. And especially if it's like depression that comes up. Sometimes if we just sit with that, then we can go in a downward spiral and it's not helpful. So sometimes, actually, it's okay. But most of the time, you know, we would be better off if we just would, you know, turn the light to shine within, you know, look at ourselves. And one of the reasons in Zen practice that we have, like we do scheduled times of sitting, like here we do it 5 mornings a week, 3 noon times a week. You know, we have these Sunday at 9. We have these scheduled times is that then it's like no matter what you're feeling, you just come and sit. And so sometimes, you know, I would really encourage everyone to have that at home too, to have every day, you know, like this is the time that I sit. And then it's like whatever's going on. Even if I feel like it would be a complete waste of time if I sat because I'm so agitated or distracted, I'll just say, well, okay, I'll waste that time. You know, and then I can go do the other things if I'm still feeling like I need a distraction later. But having that consistency really is powerful. So, yeah. We are actually out of time. If we're going to make it over to...
One quick thing.
Yes.
I just want to let everyone know that there are veggies in the kitchen that are for the taking.
They're from our garden here.
Yeah.
Grab something, please.
Yeah, okay. So we can close with the closing chant.